Imagine waking up, grabbing your morning coffee, and, you know, just reading the local headlines to find that home sales in your county just spiked by a staggering 75%, like, in a single month.
Right, which sounds incredible.
Yeah, exactly. Your immediate thought would probably be that you're sitting in the middle of this unprecedented real estate boom, like a modern-day gold rush.
Oh, right? Absolutely. That's the natural conclusion.
But then you slide your finger over to the very next column in the report, and you see that at the exact same time, median home prices have plummeted by 34%.
Yeah.
So today, we're pointing our magnifying glass at a market that is, well, mathematically speaking, completely contradicting itself.
It really is a statistical paradox.
Yeah.
And it's one that completely demands a closer look. Because, you know, when volume skyrockets while prices supposedly crash, someone is misreading the room.
Definitely.
And usually, honestly, it's the people who are just panicking over the headlines.
Which is exactly why we are here. Welcome to the Deep Dive. It's late May 2026. We're heading right into the Memorial Day weekend, which means the traditional summer real estate season is officially kicking off.
The tools are opening up.
Yep. The grills are getting fired up, and we wanted to take a massive stack of data we've gathered and really make sense of it for you. We're pulling from the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems, that's the Netrisys local market updates, along with MarketWatch quarterly reports from Q1 of 2026.
And we also have some deeply hyper-local broker data in there, too.
Right. Exactly. So our mission today, to completely unpack what is happening in Montague County.
And Montague County is honestly the absolute perfect subject for us right now.
Ah, why is that?
Because it represents a market in genuine real-time transition. It's essentially a localized microcosm of the broader shifts happening all across Texas.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, we are watching the post-pandemic peaks, you know, that era of absolute frenzy, where buyers were making sight unseen offers, colliding head on with the cold, hard reality of 2026 interest rates.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because when you start digging into those April 2026 numbers for Montague County, that headline I mentioned just completely jumps off the page.
It really does.
In April 2026, Montague County saw 21 closed sales. Now, to you listening, 21 might not sound like, you know, Manhattan-level volume.
Right, it's a smaller market.
But in April of 2025, there were only 12 closings. That is a 75% increase year over year.
Which is a huge jump. It tells us that the buyers are not extinct. They're active, they're writing contracts, and they're closing deals.
But then we get to the scary part.
The price drop.
Yeah. Simultaneously, the countywide median sales price for April just plummeted to $175,500. That is down 34.4% from $267,500 the previous year.
Wow.
If you are just skimming a newsletter, this looks like a total market collapse paired with a liquidation sale.
It does. But this is where, you know, reading single month metrics in small rural counties becomes incredibly dangerous.
Why dangerous specifically?
Well, it's the inherent volatility of a small sample size. It means that the data is highly susceptible to distortion. I mean, when you only have 21 transactions, one or two highly anomalous sales can just warp everything.
Like what kind of anomalous sales?
Like, say, a dilapidated hunting cabin selling for cash. Or on the flip side, maybe a massive ranch being subdivided. Outliers like that can completely warp the median for a single month.
Which is exactly why we don't just look at the countywide aggregate. We really need to isolate the variables.
Right.
So when we strip out commercial properties and, you know, unusual residential income setups and focus purely on single family homes, the Netrisys MLS summary report shows 16 single family homes sold in April.
Okay.
And the median price for those 16 homes was $175,250. The average was $185,750. So the April numbers are genuinely down.
They are down for that specific 30-day window, yeah.
Yeah.
But relying on a 30-day window to judge a rural real estate market is, well, it's like trying to judge the entire climate of Texas by stepping outside for 5 minutes in March.
That is a great way to put it.
Yeah, to find our reliable anchor, we really have to pull back and look at the year-to-date or YTD numbers.
Let's do that. So through the first 4 months of 2026, Montague County had 74 closed sales.
Right.
Compare that to 54 closed sales in the first 4 months of 2025. That is a 37% gain.
Exactly.
So the volume trend is definitely holding strong over the longer term. But what about the pricing?
This is where the reality check hits. For the first 4 months of 2026, the YTD median price sits at $240,000.
Wow. Okay, wait. So that 175,000 median we saw in April was just a massive isolated outlier.
Completely. And that $240,000 YTD median represents a 12.7% decline from last year's YTD median of $275,000.
Got it.
So we're looking at a market that is actually down 13%, not 34%.
I really want to make sure this crystallizes for you listening because this distinction is literally the difference between panic selling your home and strategically pricing it.
100%.
It reminds me of a small town diner. Like, imagine you own a little diner on the main square of a quiet county seat.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
If a bus full of 15 tourists pulls up on a random Tuesday just because their GPS broke, your daily revenue for that Tuesday might spike by 200%.
Right, but that's just a fluke.
Exactly. It doesn't mean the town's entire local economy just underwent an industrial revolution. It's just a sample size anomaly. You have to look at the revenue for the whole quarter to see if the diner's core business is actually growing.
That diner analogy highlights exactly why institutional investors and seasoned brokers rarely panic over single-month data,
Yeah.
because a 12.7% decline year to date is still a real, tangible softening of prices. I mean, we aren't glossing over that.
Right, it's a real drop.
It is a definite correction from the peak. But a 13% correction is a measured, rational unwinding of pandemic-era inflation. It is absolutely not the bottom falling out of the market.
Okay, but if sales velocity is up 37% year to date, meaning homes are changing hands significantly faster than last year, but prices are still drifting downward by 13%, logic dictates that the shelves should be getting empty.
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah, right, because demand is up, so supply should be down. But when we look at the NetTrust data, the exact opposite is happening.
Which brings us to the real structural shift underlying everything in Montague County right now.
The inventory.
Yes. The supply side of the equation has completely transformed.
In April 2026, there were 212 homes actively listed for sale in Montague County. That's up 6% year over year.
Okay.
And when we run the math on those 212 listings against the current sales pace, we get a month supply of inventory reading of 10.6 months.
Now, to be fair to the historical data, that is actually down a fraction from 11.9 months a year ago.
Right.
But regardless of that slight dip, 10.6 months is a staggering amount of inventory to be sitting on the market.
And our Q1 2026 MarketWatch data completely backs us up too.
Yeah.
Their quarterly wrap-up showed homes for sale were up 15.5% year over year in the first quarter.
Wow.
Yeah. We saw 50 closed sales, a median price of $262,875 for the quarter. And this is the kicker, an average of 111 days on market.
111 days. I mean, just think about the psychology of that for a seller.
It sounds exhausting.
It is. That is nearly 4 months of keeping your house perfectly clean, making the beds every single morning, and vacating on weekends for showings, all without a single contract.
Let's actually pause for a second and break down this month's supply concept. We throw that term around a lot when we talk about real estate data, but you know, for someone trying to decide whether to list their home this summer, what does that number tangibly represent?
Yeah, that's a great question. The month's supply of inventory is kind of the golden metric of real estate economics, mainly because it measures saturation.
Okay.
Simply put, it tells you exactly how long it would take to completely clear out every single active listing on the market today, assuming sales continue at their current pace and absolutely zero new homes are listed.
Right. So if we dropped a giant impenetrable glass dome over Montague County today, and no one was legally allowed to hammer a new for sale sign into their front yard, it would take buyers almost 11 months to purchase the 212 homes currently sitting inside that dome.
Yes, exactly. And context is everything here. In residential real estate, the universally accepted benchmark for a balanced market, where neither the buyer nor the seller has a distinct negotiating advantage, is around 6 months of supply.
And anything under 6 months is a seller's market. I
Okay.
think we all remember 2021 when supply was hovering around 1 or 2 months.
It was wild. When you have 1 or 2 months of supply, desperation just completely takes over.
Bidding wars everywhere.
Exactly. That's when you see 30 people in an open house,
Ugh.
bidding wars that escalate $50,000 over asking, and buyers just recklessly waiving their rights to home inspections purely to get a foot in the door.
Yeah, the seller dictates all the terms.
Exactly. But when you cross over that 6 month threshold, the entire power dynamic just flips. At 10.6 months, we are deeply entrenched in a buyer's market.
So, what does this all actually mean for you if you're walking into an open house this Memorial Day weekend?
Well, it means you have the greatest luxury in real estate, which is time.
Time to think.
Yeah. The post-pandemic anxiety is gone. Today, A buyer can walk through a property in Montague County, notice that, I don't know, the HVAC unit looks a little rusty, and they don't have to panic offer on the spot.
Right, no more waiving the inspection just to compete.
Exactly. They can go home, sleep on it, tour three other comparable properties the next day, and then submit an offer that deliberately asks the seller to cover closing costs or make repairs.
So the cushion of inventory basically acts as a buffer against irrational financial decisions.
Precisely. When there are 211 other options on the market, the buyer holds all the leverage.
Now, a 10.6-month supply of houses sounds massive, particularly if you're used to the tighter suburban markets closer to the Dallas metro core.
Definitely.
But that number actually pales in comparison to what happens when we remove the physical houses from the equation entirely.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, if we just look at the raw Texas dirt, the narrative gets pretty wild.
The acreage and raw land segment is operating on an entirely different plane of reality right now.
Let's get into it. Farms, ranches, and land. In April 2026, there were exactly 6 land sales recorded in Montague County. Just 6.
Wow.
That's a 33% drop year over year. The pricing took a heavy hit as well. The average land price was $303,999, down 23%.
Huge drop.
Yeah. And the median land price came in at $115,000, which is down 16%. But here is the statistic that completely halted my reading. The month's supply of inventory for raw land in Montague County currently sits at a staggering 28.4 months.
Nearly 2.5 years of supply just sitting out in the pasture.
And if you're looking for formal farm and ranch sales recorded through the NetTrust MLS in April, zero.
Wait, literally none.
Not a single one.
Now, we do have to caveat that some large-scale farm and ranch transactions happen completely off-market or outside the standard MLS systems.
That's a fair point.
But still, a zero count in the primary data pipeline is a massive indicator of market stagnation.
It is. And despite that lack of formal MLS transactions, anyone familiar with Montague County knows its identity is deeply tied to its rural agricultural character.
Definitely.
Navigating this specific type of market requires highly specialized knowledge. I mean, selling a 50-acre ranch is fundamentally different from selling a cookie-cutter subdivision home with an HOA.
The due diligence process alone is entirely different. I mean, you're evaluating, well, water depths, soil compositions, agricultural tax exemptions, and, you know, grazing lease agreements.
To give you an idea of the type of operators who navigate this terrain, we pulled some local broker data, looking specifically at foes like David Pete of Pete Realty.
Oh, right.
They're based a bit further south around Aubrey and Decatur, but their profile perfectly illustrates the archetype of a rural market participant. You're looking at professionals with a dozen years of highly specific experience.
Right. They really know the land.
Exactly. They don't just sell the lifestyle, they live it. They're out there raising British white cattle. They're managing pastures for retired Tennessee walkers that spent their prime riding the North Texas LBJ Grasslands trail system.
The LBJ grasslands are beautiful, but honestly, more to the point, that level of intimate agricultural knowledge is exactly what a buyer needs when evaluating raw land.
How so?
Well, if a broker doesn't understand the difference between native grass capacities and improved coastal Bermuda, they really can't accurately price a property.
Right. But even with all that specialized expertise floating around the market, we are still staring at 28.4 months of supply.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you, what is the mechanical failure here? Why is land absorption taking nearly 2.5 years compared to 10 months for residential homes?
What's fascinating here is how risk is assessed by the people actually holding the money.
The banks.
Exactly. The banks. It all comes down to the fundamental mechanics of financing. When a buyer wants to purchase a residential home, the bank understands the collateral perfectly.
Right, they just run the comps.
Yeah, they can send an appraiser out to look at a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, look at 3 identical houses down the street, and assign a highly accurate risk profile to a 30-year mortgage.
Because everyone needs shelter. A house has intrinsic, immediate utility.
Precisely. But financing raw land is a completely different beast. A bank looks at 50 acres of raw dirt and sees a speculative, illiquid asset.
Okay, so it's a lot riskier for them.
Very risky. Because if a borrower defaults on a single-family home, the bank just forecloses, puts it on the MLS, and usually liquidates it within a few months. If a borrower defaults on a 50-acre ranch, the bank suddenly becomes an involuntary farmer, holding an asset that might take 3 years to sell.
Which means banks hate lending on raw land unless the terms heavily favor them.
That is the crux of it. To offset that risk, agricultural and raw land loans require significantly larger down payments. We're talking often 20 to 50% cash up front.
Oh, wow. That's steep.
Yeah, and the interest rates are higher than residential mortgages, and the amortization schedules are frequently shorter. They sometimes require balloon payments after 10 or 15 years.
So the pool of buyers who actually have the liquid capital to put 40% down on a $500,000 piece of land is incredibly small to begin with.
And when economic conditions tighten, that small pool of buyers evaporates almost entirely. The buyers who are still actively shopping for land in Montague County right now, the ones who have their cash and financing completely lined up, they know exactly how rare they are.
Right? They have all the
They
cars.
wield immense, unprecedented negotiating power because they know they might be the only viable offer that seller sees for the next 28 months.
Okay, but let me push back on that for a second.
Sure.
If I am a seller and I'm sitting on 50 acres of gorgeous Montague County pasture and I'm staring down the barrel of a 2.5 year wait time just to get a piece of paper signed, what is fundamentally keeping me from just slashing my price today?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I mean, if no one is biting at $15,000 an acre, why aren't we seeing massive sweeping price cuts down to $8,000 an acre just to move the dirt? What is the invisible force holding this market up in a state of suspended animation?
It is the anchor of recent history, combined with external macroeconomic hope.
Macroeconomic hope.
Yeah. The invisible force dictating the pace of these rural land sales and the residential corrections, too, isn't actually localized to the Montague Town Square.
Right.
Sellers aren't slashing prices because they vividly remember the massive equity gains they saw in 2021 and 2022. They are psychologically anchored to those peak prices, and they are basically holding their breath, assuming that the macroeconomic winds will eventually shift back in their favor.
Which brings us to the elephant in the room,
Right.
the macro drivers. We really cannot accurately dissect a localized real estate market in 2026 without analyzing the new normal of interest rates. The cost of money dictates everything.
It really does. It is the gravity that controls the entire real estate tide.
Let's look at the current mortgage rates for the DFW area as of April 2026. If you're looking to secure a conventional fixed 30-year mortgage, the average rate is sitting right at 5.99%, carrying an APR of 6.16%.
Right.
If you're going the FHA route, which typically allows for lower down payments and lower credit thresholds, the fixed 30-year rate is 5.88%. And if you want to pay off your home faster, a conventional 15-year is down to 5.38%.
Those numbers might seem arbitrary if you don't look at the engine driving them. We really need to talk about the 10-year Treasury yield.
Because they're connected.
Exactly. A common misconception is that the Federal Reserve directly sets mortgage rates. They actually don't.
Wait, really? A lot of people definitely assume they do.
Yeah, but they don't. The Federal Reserve sets the federal funds rate, which is the overnight borrowing rate for banks. But 30-year mortgage rates closely track the yield on the 10-year Treasury bond.
Okay, let's break that mechanism down for the listener. Why does a 10-year government bond dictate my 30-year house loan?
Well, it comes down to how mortgages are sold on the secondary market. When a bank gives you a mortgage, they rarely keep it on their books for 30 years.
They sell it off.
Right? They bundle it with thousands of other mortgages into mortgage-backed securities, or MBS, and sell them to investors.
Okay.
Those investors are comparing the return they get on these mortgage bundles against the return they could get by just buying extremely safe government debt, specifically the 10-year Treasury bond.
So, if the government bond is paying out a high yield, the mortgage bundle has to offer an even higher interest rate to convince the investor to take on the slight risk of a homeowner defaulting.
Precisely. There is always a spread between the 10-year Treasury and the 30-year mortgage rate, which is typically around 1.5% to 2%. And right now, the yield on that 10-year Treasury bond remains stubbornly anchored above 4%.
So as long as that government bond is above 4%, it acts like a reinforced concrete floor underneath mortgage rates.
Exactly. It makes it mathematically impossible for mortgage rates to rapidly drop back down into the 3 or 4% range that people grew so accustomed to during the pandemic.
The new normal.
Yes, we are officially living in what the industry has dubbed the new normal. The wild, unpredictable volatility we suffered through in 2024 and 2025, where rates were spiking dramatically every time an inflation report came out, is largely behind us. 6% is the stabilizing baseline.
And the forecasts from the Texas A&M Real Estate Research Center completely echo the stabilization. They're currently projecting a very gradual easing of rates, forecasting that we might settle into the 5.0% to 5.6% range by late 2026, assuming inflation continues to behave.
Which is a rational, data-driven forecast, but it really begs the question of geography.
What do you mean?
Well, how does a 6% new normal dictated by the broader DFW Metroplex actually impact a rural acreage-heavy area like Montague County.
Because DFW is the economic engine, what happens there sends shockwaves outward. And right now, the broader DFW market is undergoing a regional price correction of its own. The data shows that home prices in Dallas are down 4.1% year over year.
And that 4.1% correction fundamentally alters the migration patterns of North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the phenomenon we saw during the peak. We called it drive until you qualify.
Oh, yeah, I remember that phrase.
Right. Buyers who wanted to live in prime suburbs like Frisco, McKinney, or Arlington were completely priced out by bidding wars. They literally couldn't afford the immediate metroplex, so they kept driving north, looking for affordability, until they hit the county line of places like Montague.
And that outward pressure is exactly what drove Montague's prices to that $267,000 median peak last year.
Exactly. But now the math is reversing. As the cost of entry into the immediate metroplex slightly corrects, or at least stops accelerating at a breakneck pace, the urgency of that rural migration slows down.
Because they can just buy closer to town.
Right. If a buyer can suddenly afford a home 30 minutes closer to their office in Dallas, because prices there soften by 4%, they aren't going to make the trek out to Montague.
Which directly explains the inventory buildup we are analyzing. The outward pressure from the city has depressurized. Montague County is now relying heavily on localized demand rather than overflow desperation from Dallas.
Hold on.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. If you're a buyer listening to this and you hear the Texas A&M forecast suggesting that rates might drop to 5% by the end of 2026, human nature dictates that you should just sit on your hands.
Right, wait it out.
Yeah. Like, why buy a house in May of 2026 at a 6% rate when you could wait 6 months and get a 5% rate?
It seems like common sense, sure, but conventional wisdom is often the enemy of strategic leverage.
Absolutely. Some of the smartest buyers in the market are intentionally not waiting for that forecasted rate drop. They are acting right now.
Yeah, they are.
And the reason why is entirely tied to what we just discussed about supply. Because there's currently a 10.6-month supply of housing inventory, these buyers realize that this exact moment offers them maximum tangible leverage to negotiate on the purchase price.
Let's game out the alternative just to show why. If you wait until rates drop to 5% in late 2026, what fundamentally changes in the market psychology?
The floodgates open. Every other buyer who has been sitting on the sidelines trying to time the market suddenly jumps back into the pool.
Exactly.
Demand violently spikes. That 10.6 months of inventory gets eaten up in a matter of weeks. And suddenly you're right back in a multiple offer situation. You lose all your negotiating leverage and the purchase price of the home gets bid right back up.
Which completely defeats the purpose. You might secure a 5% interest rate from your bank, but you end up paying $30,000 more for the actual house. It wipes out any savings you gain from the lower rate. You essentially traded a lower borrowing cost for a higher principal balance and a total loss of negotiating power. The educated buyers in Montague right now understand this dynamic completely.
Which brings us perfectly to the ultimate practical question for you, the listener. Based on all of these complex, interconnected layers we've just unpacked, from the 28 months of stagnant land supply to the paradox of April's median price all the way up to the 10-year Treasury bond acting as a floor for 6% mortgages, what is the actual tactical strategy for moving property right now?
It's all about looking at what's working on the ground today.
Let's look at the reality on the ground for buyers and sellers in May 2026.
This is where the theory stops and the reality of the transaction begins. Because despite the massive inventory backlog and despite the price softening, there's a singular, highly illuminating data point regarding the homes that are successfully crossing the finish line.
We're talking about the sold-to-list ratio.
Yes. For the homes that successfully closed in Montague County in April, the sold-to-list ratio was 97%.
And when we look at the broader Q1 data, it showed a very healthy 93% ratio.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, a 97% sold-to-list ratio occurring in a market drowning in 10 months of inventory is a massive flashing beacon of truth.
It really is.
It categorically proves that accurately priced, competitive homes are moving, and they are capturing nearly their entire asking price.
Right, because we have to remember our anchor point from the very beginning. YTD sales volume in the county is up 37%. The buyers absolutely exist. They are touring homes, they are writing earnest money checks, and they are closing loans.
But the friction, the reason we have 111 days on market, exists almost entirely between realistic buyers and sellers who are trapped in denial.
Sellers who won't budge.
Exactly. The market advice we have to extract from this data is stark, but it's necessary. Sellers who are clinging to their 2022 price expectations, who are pricing their current listing based on what their neighbor got during the absolute peak of the pandemic frenzy, are the ones artificially inflating that 10.6 months of inventory. They will just sit on the market.
They will sit there, their listing will grow stale, and eventually the market will perceive something as being wrong with the property.
Sellers have to meet the buyers where the market actually stands in May 2026. If you price your property based on the current comps, accounting for the reality of a 6% rate environment, it will sell.
Yep.
And as the 97% ratio proves, it will sell for close to what you ask.
But for the buyers, the tactical reality playing out across North Texas is even more fascinating. Instead of passively waiting in their apartments for the macroeconomic stars to align, instead of hoping the Federal Reserve saves them, buyers are actively using their current leverage to manufacture their own lower rates.
They are heavily utilizing seller concessions.
Let's explain exactly how this mechanism works, because it is brilliantly simple. Let's say a buyer finds a great single-family home in Montague that has been sitting on the market for 60 days. The seller's starting to sweat.
Right, they're anxious.
They are getting anxious because they need to move before the school year starts. The buyer comes in with an offer and says, "I will give you your full asking price. But in exchange, you, the seller, are going to contribute 3% of the purchase price back to me at closing as a concession, specifically allocated for a rate buy-down."
To understand why this is so powerful, you have to look at the math of buying points on a mortgage.
How does that work?
Well, a buyer can pay an upfront fee to their lender at closing to permanently lower the interest rate on their loan. Typically, paying 1% of the loan amount upfront will lower the interest rate by about 0.25%.
So if the buyer is getting a $300,000 loan at the current 6% new normal rate, they use that $9,000 seller concession, the 3% the seller agreed to give back to buy down their rate.
Exactly.
Suddenly, their actual interest rate drops from 6% down to something like 5.25% for the entire 30-year life of the loan.
It is the defining financial tactic of the 2026 real estate season. The seller gets to look at the closing document and see the top-line sales price they wanted, which protects their ego and makes them feel like they won the negotiation.
Win-win.
Yeah. But the buyer uses the seller's own equity to aggressively buy down their mortgage rate, providing immediate, locked-in monthly financial relief without having to gamble on the Texas A&M forecast coming true.
You don't wait for the market to fix your problem. You use your leverage to mathematically negotiate the fix directly into the contract.
And in a market saturated with 10.6 months of inventory, the seller is highly likely to agree to that 3% concession.
Because what's the alternative?
Right. The alternative is saying no, keeping the property on the market, paying another 3 months of carrying costs, taxes, insurance, maintenance, and just hoping a buyer without these demands miraculously shows up.
It is a high-stakes standoff, but it is one where the educated, pragmatic participant can absolutely thrive.
Yes.
So as we bring this deep dive to a close, let's briefly summarize the massive journey we've taken through this stack of data. We started by looking at a terrifying headline, a 34% drop in April median prices, only to discover through the math of small sample sizes that the year-to-date reality is a much more measured, rational 12.7% correction.
Right.
We've seen a massive 37% spike in actual year-to-date sales volume, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that transactions are happening. We dissected the deeply saturated land market, exploring how bank risk profiles and agricultural loan mechanics have created 28 months of supply.
Firmly placing all negotiating power into the hands of the buyer.
Exactly. And we contextualized all of these local movements within the macro reality of the 10-year Treasury bond and the stabilized 6% new normal interest rate environment that is dictating the strategic terms of every single contract written in Montague County today.
It is a complex landscape that absolutely requires patience from sellers and strategic, calculated aggression from buyers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, beyond the immediate tactics of rate buy-downs and sold-to-list ratios, there is a much larger, almost philosophical implication hidden deep within this data.
Yeah. What stands out to you?
Well, we noted earlier that raw land in Montague County is currently sitting on the market for an average of nearly 29 months at a time.
Yeah.
Financing is inherently difficult. Buyers with sufficient liquid capital are scarce, and local families who might need to liquidate an inherited farm or a 50-acre ranch are facing the reality of waiting years just to find a buyer.
It's a tough spot to be in.
It really is. Yeah. And this raises a profound question for you to consider long after this deep dive ends. What happens to the legacy of a rural community, under these sustained conditions?
Wow, that's a big question.
If local families are forced to wait years to sell their acreage, and the carrying costs and financial pressures continue to mount, do we eventually see a breaking point?
Like, they just give up.
Maybe. Or do we see a sudden wave of institutional buyers or large-scale corporate developers entities that operate entirely outside of traditional bank financing and have immense liquid capital reserves swooping into the county to buy up that legacy land at steep distress level discounts?
Oh, man.
And if that generational wealth transfer happens, does it fundamentally and permanently alter the rural agricultural DNA of Montague County forever?
That is an incredibly sobering thought, and it's exactly why looking past the simple headline numbers is so vital. Data tells a story about people, about heritage, and about the future of a community. We want to thank you for joining us as we unpack this shifting landscape.
It's been a great conversation.
As you head into the summer season, whether you're looking at raw dirt, touring a single-family home, or just watching the market dynamics unfold from the sidelines, remember to always look at the true trend, not just the shocking snapshot. Keep questioning the data around you and have a safe, fantastic Memorial Day weekend.